check out the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Behringer, the best in the business. It's going to be great.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Full Press NHL Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, the voice of Full Press Hockey. I am joined today by American tennis player and New York Islanders fan, co-host, Beyond the Racket Podcast, Noah Rubin. Noah, thanks for coming to the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, big reason why I want to get you on. I was on Instagram. I saw your story when the Islanders made the playoffs. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's a huge Islanders fan. When did your love for the sport and the Islanders begin?
Super early. I remember going to games at Nassau Coliseum. I mean, obviously they had some good years, but there were a lot of tough years growing up with the Islanders around that time. So, I mean, there were games that I went to with my father where, you know, we'd be on opposite sides of the stadium, almost having like a conversation. That's how few fans were in the stadium at that point. But we lived so close. I mean, there were times where, you know, I was like, for a 7:30 game, it was like 7:22. My dad's like, wait, do you want to go to a game tonight? And I'm like, sure. And we just like get in the car, be there in 8 minutes from our house. And, you know, it was just, there was something so foreign about the sport to me. I don't know, just the idea of these guys skating on a knife, you know, and hitting each other. And then we have fights. And I was like, what in the world is this? And being a tennis player, you know, I played soccer and then, you know, I messed around with baseball and basketball, but hockey was just, it was not even close to the realm of possibilities for me. So I just fell in love with it from such an early age. And then I think, you know, the real in-depth, like fanatic in me, Islander fanatic in me probably came out when I took my first break from pro tennis, maybe even during around COVID time and right before. But yeah, I mean, I grew up with Pekka and DP and all those guys and seeing those guys play. I mean, that was the OG.
Yeah. I mean, as an Islander fan, I know a lot of fans and friends that I talk to are Islanders fans and people in the business. When Johnny Tavares left, how did you handle that one?
I think it was more, you know, because I wasn't a fanatic, you know, at that point. I mean, you're like, okay, this is a bit fucked up. You know, you're looking at this, you know, it's snaky, but then you're like looking at the reactions from the fans and you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm part of this fan base at times. You know, it's like as serious as it is, like within the realm of sports, it's also like, oh wow. I mean, this is like life or death for some people, you know, which, you know, I think my wife can attest to that sometimes it changes my mood when they have a bad loss. But I mean, watching, you know, literally like the burning of jerseys, you know, which we saw with like LeBron, and then, you know, it's like, wow, Tavares did that to this fan base. But, you know, I still think that even though, I mean, Tavares is one of the best players Islanders have ever seen at times, I think the team became a much more knitted community post Tavares, post that, and it actually brought the group together in some ways.
Yeah, you mentioned the COVID and when you became a fanatic in the bubble, and I've seen a lot of interviews out there, Barry Trotz, a lot of the players, the tightness of that group because of the ping pong tournament, because of the bubble, they became so close. What did you think of those runs back-to-back conference finals? And then the year that they missed, did you think, oh, that could have been the year to get even further?
Yeah, I think it's funny because as an athlete myself, I think I related to the Islanders and like how they played. Like these were like, you know, they use the word pesky all the time. You know, it's like these pesky grinding forechecking team that's just going to be a nightmare to play against. And I think the beauty of that was like, okay, the regular season may be an absolute roller coaster because of how they play. And, you know, you're going to go through waves of like, what am I watching right now? But, you know, in a playoffs when it matters, like you're like, we don't want to play the Islanders. Like that was like the consensus at that time. So, you know, with me, it was like, okay, the way I play tennis, I had to put so much effort and intensity in where, you know, the everyday match was exhausting for me and it kind of beat me up. But like in the big moments, my tennis was something that people didn't want to play against, you know, when I was playing my best tennis. So like, I kind of, when I got closer to the Islanders and started watching, I was like, I could relate. And I kind of felt that. So yeah, when that bubble team first came, you could see that there was like buy-in from that team. You know, there was like an understanding of like, yeah, we're not going to be pretty. Our family is not going to enjoy watching us, but like, we're going to win games, you know, and they're going to be 2-1 and we're going to win games. And you think it's going to be 3-1, we're going to score an empty netter. It's never going to happen. We're not scoring empty net goals. Like, it's just all the way through, it's just going to be a pain to watch. And like, I love that. I love that. Like, you could see the breakdown, and then like the every once in a while 6-1 game that they won because the other team was just broken down completely. And that's what you saw kind of in the bubble, and then leading into the following year where you're like, yeah, we can use probably a little bit more firepower. But the buy-in from Trotz, from the players, was amazing. And to see that kind of team explode the way they did, and obviously not during COVID, but to kind of get to those playoff games where you always, you know, you think back, you're like, wait, is that the best I'm going to see, you know, in the next few years? And you always think back, and, you know, I got to go to the final Coliseum game, you know, game 6 with Beauvillier OT winner, you know, I actually went by myself that game. So it's like, to go through all of this was pretty great.
It's funny, cause I was at that game too. Final game. Yeah, I was there. Final game, Beauvillier overtime. Yeah, it's a must. That one was,
that was
crazy. You know, everybody knocks the Coliseum, but I will say this, it had a uniqueness to it. And when you got to the playoffs and when you experienced that crowd, they could turn a game for the New York Islanders.
No, UBS is great. You know, it's kind of a pain in the ass to get to right now. Mm-hmm. But the Coliseum, yeah, when that building, I mean, you could probably ask any Islander at the moment, and even, you know, the away teams, they're like, that's a building we didn't want to be in at 1-1 in the third. You know, that was a building that, you know, if there was two early goals and the team was on you, you didn't want to be there. I mean, that was just, you felt it. Whether, I mean, you know, obviously Beauvillier's OT winner, you know, was followed by beer bottles thrown on the ice. They couldn't even take their, you know, 3-star skate around after. So, you know, that kind of epitomizes it, where it's like, I'm almost embarrassed about the fan base at times, but it's also like, yeah, I mean, they die for the team.
They do. I mean, considering when I was there for John Tavares's return with the Maple Leafs, I you know, it was ridiculous. I couldn't even walk across the street from the Marriott. I'm like, oh my God, this was ridiculous. And then the warm-up, fans are just out there, the chants, the Leafs, it's like an hour or two before game time. And I'm like, this place is already rocking.
You know, and for like a pretty, I don't know, whatever term you want to use for Tavares, you know, he's pretty to himself, shy, whatever the case may be. He knew what he was going to walk into. And I still think it wasn't what he expected. You know, I think it just surpassed expectations with like, oh, this fan base took it, each individual took it so personally. And had to tell him personally from them that he's a snake, the worst human being that's ever lived, blah, blah, blah. Like, sure, should we have gotten a trade for him? Draft picks, whatever the case, 100%. Should he have told us? Sure. But like, it's just, it's funny at times, you know, it is everything to some people, which, you know, like yesterday when it's 3-3 and then they score 2 goals in, you know, 9 seconds. Yeah, I felt a personal attack for a second, but, you know, you kind of move on after a while.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, the New York Islanders, they fall to Carolina 5 games, first round of Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not like they didn't have their chances, though. I personally felt they played a good series. They should have had some bounces go their way. Games 1, they probably definitely should have won game 2. And then last night, you know, you get back against a good Carolina team. And again, it breakdowns in the second game and in the third and in the fifth game in the third period, we give up 2 goals in 9 seconds. I mean, that's all you need to know about this series.
Yeah, unlucky is not like fully the word. I mean, I think it, you know, you have to play well to get lucky, certain things like that. And you see the bounces go your way. And you saw that, like, you know, you had Anderson basically trip out of his goal to give Cizikas the goal. He tripped out of his crease, sorry. And, you know, from that, the 6 minutes before that was great Islanders hockey, you know, that led to that. So you get a little lucky when those things happen. But, you know, when you're on your, you know, you're on your heels a little bit, obviously the Canes, I would say, besides being a top 3 most hated team in the NHL, they're probably, you know, a top, you know, I would give them, I'd probably put them above Vegas right now. I'm still have Panthers number 1, you know, to take the cup home. But then, you know, you're looking at the Canes team top to bottom. And like, even with Anderson, he had some great saves, but it just felt like Burns' stick was like everywhere it needed to be at every second. The D is amazing. They get on you so quick. So, you know, the Islanders found themselves like the game 2, which, you know, they had 2 minutes left when they, you know, tied the game up. Like, that was a game they probably weren't supposed to win. They didn't have a shot on net for basically two periods, besides one disallowed goal by McLean. That was a high stick. But, you know, you look at that and you're like, yeah, maybe they got away with too much at times, you know, maybe not enough. So I think, you know, we have to see a couple changes in the Islanders. You know, I don't think it's a complete blow up. Obviously, you go on Islanders Twitter or Instagram or whatever the case may be, and then you have these clowns that are like, fire Lou and blow up the team. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I think there needs to be a little bit of a mix up here and there. I think there could be some fun changes this offseason. But you go top to bottom and there's some nice pieces there, and there really are. But the Canes is a really bad matchup. A really probably one of the worst matchups in the NHL for the Islanders. I think you put up almost up against anybody else and you feel pretty good about it, but still you have your chances and you know, super unlucky goals. I mean, this is back-to-back years now where, you know, it was, I think, it was the final goal of the series was Canes like below the red line. Right. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous. And then, you know, the first goal of this last game with Varley, which just like bounced off the shoulder from a side, like it just happens, you know, a lot of it has just happened. So tough to see though.
Yeah. I mean, I always say PNC is not a fun place to play for teams. I think Lou Lamoriello as a general manager going back to his days with the Devils in the playoffs, I think has one win as GM of a team against Carolina in Carolina. It is a house of horrors for a lot of teams. Building is loud. It is dumpy. I've been there. It is dumpy outside, but it is loud. But yeah, like I said, I thought they, the fans are crazy down there. I love Islanders fans. They're great. Those tailgates are great. But, you know, you look at what Carolina did, you know, and you saw, again, you mentioned the changes in the offseason. I know a lot of people looking at Lou and bringing in more offense. I think that's something, you know, going back the last couple of off seasons, I think that's something that they do need to address because they do need to score more goals.
Yeah. I think you look top to bottom. I think the D, you know, sadly you have, you know, Pelech Kulak. I mean, at one point, I mean, was one of the scariest lockdown D pairing in the league. I mean, like, you know, they weren't going to give you the offense, even though Kulak has a 148 mile per hour slap shot that he should be doing only about 16 times a game. He never does, but, you know, they were shut down. They were shut down. You didn't want to go up against them. And then, you know, I feel like, you know, post-injury, Pelech has taken, you know, a couple steps down, sadly. I actually think Kulak played pretty well throughout this series. I think he was number two on the list of D-men. I'd put Riley was an amazing get. I think Riley's looking really great the way he skates, sees it, you know, makes really smart decisions. And then you have Dobson, you know, who's kind of, you know, I really love him at times, but, you know, kind of fell apart towards the end of the season and was kind of almost non-existent for the postseason. So, you know, I was talking to my friend about this and, you know, I think Dobson could be, you know, a trade. I think Pageau has to kind of put out there. I think, you know, McLean looks great. You know, he's not going to be a first liner, but I think he's going to take over Cizikas's kind of role. So I think you put McLean third line center, you have Cizikas fourth line. I think it's kind of, if we can get something for Pageau, I know we held off on him, you know, sadly he's not producing, you know, he fills a lot of holes in, you know, in the penalty kill, you know, he's putting it on the line, but, you know, he gave up a goal last night, basically kind of whiffing on, you know, I don't know. He took this like baseball bat swing on one that led to the goal. And, you know, he doesn't have the same wrister. You know, obviously we love the Holmstrom Pageau. We thought was going to be the greatest, you know, penalty kill. They had what, like, six shorthanded goals in the first few games. But yeah, I think you look at that. And then we talked about Brock Nelson, obviously an Islanders legend at this point, but you know, you're telling me that you can get a pick in like two young studs right now for Nelson. And you're looking at that, like, maybe that's the chance you take. I don't know, but yeah, I think we have to have the first line complete. I think there's very few NHL teams at this point that don't have a complete first line. Obviously we've tried a few things. Islanders have tried a few things on that first line, and, you know, don't really have an answer for it yet. So I'd be open to, like, you know, obviously there's a lot of trade rumors about Marner, you know, something like that, breaking up that Toronto team. As much as I love Sorokin, watching him do the ridiculous paddle save at MSG, I got to watch in person. Oh. While every other Rangers fan is around me screaming. I'm like, yeah, we just absolutely did that to you. You know, maybe that's one, you know, you break it up, you know, there's the potential of signing a Swedish goalie. There's a couple solid Bridgeport goalies, you know, if you can get a Marner to get in a first line with a Horvat and, you know, a Barzal, like, do you give that up? Can you give that up?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look what teams have done around the league. You have to give up something to get something. And look, yes. You know, Sorokin's in his, I mean, he's got his new contract, so that's going to be tough. Do you move Varlamov out? I mean, yeah, obviously that fourth line is not going to be what it is anymore. That's going to be changes. I mean, Clutterbuck's probably gone. And like, I agree with you on Nelson. I think that's something you have to look at when you have a guy that scored 30 goals now for three straight seasons and has 2 goals in 5 games. And is supposed to be one of your offensive leaders. That's a tough one.
Do you wait till he gets to 18 goals or do you trade him now? Like, when is that time? You know, as much as, you know, you want to hold on to these pieces and you don't want to get rid of them. You know, there's things that I think Nelson does incredibly well and shows up for the team when there's nobody. And then there's also things I look at Nelson. I'm like, okay. Yeah. He gives up every empty netted goal. You know, he's kind of the last one on the line. You know, does he play physical enough? You know, he's sneaky. He has good hands. He's sneaky. Great wrister. You're telling me you can get a couple great studs for him? I think you really have to look into that. You know, I think you really have to look into it. And the fourth line, I think there's players. There's players on Bridgeport. I know Wah, you know, hates Gauthier for some strange reason. I think you get like a Gauthier, you know, Fasching and Cizikas, and you're having like a sneaky fourth line there. You know, and then you, I want to see Ruslan, you know, if we are keeping Nelson, I want to see Ruslan with like a Nelson Palmieri, you know, see what he can do with good hands, a non-forechecking line. But like, you know, there's a few good players. You make one trade. And then on the defensive side, I mean, I'm still curious why Aho didn't play more minutes. I don't think he's an outstanding defenseman right now, but I think there's a lot of promise there where I was questioning Bortuzzo at times, who ended up making some good plays in the end, but is a little bit on the slower, older side of things.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so again, if you're looking, you know, let's say Dobson's out, you have Riley, you have Aho, you have Pulak, you know, you get one more, you know, solid defensive pair in there. And I think there's a couple good Bridgeport guys that can fill these roles that I don't think would leave gaps. I mean, you have Bolduc, you have, you know, a few other that, you know, this team is not a blow up team. And you look at what Lou has done, he does not deserve nearly half the hate that he gets online. I mean, the things that he snuck, getting rid of Bailey contracts, getting Bo Horvat, like so many little things he's done. And you look at him and people are like, he's so old. I'm like, he is doing probably the best he can right now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree to that. I mean, I saw his end of his tenure in New Jersey.
Sure,
there
was
some,
I know that
there
was,
were there, there were some questionable. Yeah, some question. The big thing I have with Lou is he always kind of sticks to his guts, and he's like, yeah, this is the way I did things prior to the cap coming in. We need to build like, but in today's NHL, you need scoring and. Like that's just a big. Yeah. That's just like the big knock on him is he just won't sign anybody or go get that score that you need, and I think that's the big thing. And I think he sticks around. If they had not made the playoffs this year, I think that's maybe a change that they make. But I think there's going to definitely be a transition personally over the next couple of years in the offseason.
I would have been more okay with, you know, the Lou hate if he didn't get Bo Horvat. You know, yeah. you basically took the fan favorite in Beauvillier. And then you had at that time, one of the best prospects in Aturatu. And for him to make that trade and basically say, yeah, I know Beauvillier cemented his Islanders legacy with that one goal, but you know, we need a Horvat. So like when he did that, it did prove to me enough that he was open to certain things like that. Do I believe deep down he would trade a Sorokin? No. I mean, do I love when he puts, you know, 7 years on Mayfield? No. Like there's no. And like, you know, did I think at the time? And I still do. I think Engvall at the end of whatever his term looks like in the Islanders, I do think will end up being a sneaky good trade. I really do believe that. I think he brings some intangibles. And we saw he was one of the best players kind of during the postseason. You know, he had the puck on his stick and making some great plays. I mean, yeah, I don't like him circling in the defensive zone, all he does. But, you know, so that's why I'm like the Lou hate is so just unwelcomed.
Yeah, no, it's from my end, it's just like just some constructive criticism for Lou because I've seen him through.
Especially with the Devils. Yeah.
The nickname I had for him, Cheap Lou, for years, for guys that got traded when I was like had my fan glasses on. And I can understand some of the decisions he's made. Again, I agree, like the Mayfield contract, 7 years is like, all right, whatever, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I get term and AAV, you got to keep it down. I mean, to me, I think the Islanders are always that team that if you look at the best of the murky middle, as they like to coin it, they're the best of the murky middle. And I think they could sneak into playoffs every year. And they're, like you said, the way they play defense, they have that goaltending, they can add a piece offensively. They're a team you really don't want to play.
No, I think, yeah. And I think I want to see Patrick Waugh like in a full off season. There are certain ways that I never played hockey. So everybody, whoever listens and, you know, I'm doing more hockey podcasts now, you know, I'm sure people tell me shut the fuck up, but like, you know, the way that people see the Islanders play hockey, I think there needs to be a bit of a change. You know, I think there should be lines of forechecking, and you'll still have that in the third, fourth line, you know, in some capacity, especially the fourth line. But I think the way they, you know, exit the defensive zone, you know, they're big off the glass team. Everybody's, you know, putting in the air now. It seems pretty easy to do because everybody is doing it, you know, and it seems like they're getting out of the zone much more efficiently. I think the dump and chase at times, you know, you get another offensive weapon on that first line. You know, the Barzell, Horvat, whoever it may be on the first line, that's not a dump and chase line. I mean, these are talented. I mean, Barzell can make anybody, you know, lose an edge. You have Horvat, that is a bull who can do some sneaky stuff. And you put somebody else there, that is a sneaky line. And then, you know, a possible Nelson Palmieri, Ishikov, you know, that's a passing line. So I think Waugh can see that and be like, hey, we got to change. We're not the 2021 Islanders anymore. We have some real talent. Let's skate, you know, let's move. And then you get a Riley, you get Aho. These are guys that can skate with the puck. I think you have to see more of that and kind of a little bit get away from this ground and pound, because not everybody in the team is built for it. Most of these guys are not built for that anymore.
No, I agree with that. I think they're not built for that. And yeah, like you said, you have Barzell, Horvat, you have those guys that are offensively gifted. Romanoff has been a really good addition for the Islanders on that event. You know, if Dobson can, you know, he had it off year, okay, great. End of the season wasn't great, but he's one of those guys that, you know, has potential to even be one of the best players, best defenseman in the league. So again, a full season, full off season. I look at it this way. I don't know if you're going to see the same results, but you see similar results in Vancouver with Rick Tocchet when he came in. Now you have a full off season. I'm not saying the Islanders are going to jump to first place in a Metro event. I'm not saying that, but I think you can see a more of a progression. And maybe not up and down as much with Waugh in a full offseason, because let's be honest, he really didn't have a lot of time, practice time. It's really morning skates, couple practices here and there, guys are off, to instill all the systems that he wants to do, because he is a good coach.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think he sees, obviously sees the game very well. He's on the goaltending aspect of sides, but I think Islanders, I mean, as sad as it say, he has to have to adopt a little bit of that Canes mentality, just in the fact of like, whoever has the puck, we're on them. You know, I just think the defensive zone are just so accustomed to backing into the zone, letting guys kind of just walk in, just get on everybody, especially in the neutral zone, just get on them, make every pass a nightmare. And if they manage to get out of that situation, the man on man, then yeah, they might have a chance, but then you have Varley or Sorokin. Like, I just think you change the mentality of how they're playing a little bit, and you're seeing a team that is a nightmare. Then you have Barzell like lifting sticks and having breakaways. You're having, you know, a McLean that like knocks a guy over and takes it and is a 2-on-1. And I think the team has the talent, like top to bottom. Yeah, you could definitely, I would love to see two good changes in the offseason, but you look at it and you're like, yeah, they might be, I know they're considered this old team. They're not that old. You know, there really aren't, in some cases where, you know, you're looking at a lot of these players now, they're playing until like they're 36, 37. You can have these guys play. I mean, they might not do the same minutes. So when you're looking at the core of Barzell, Horvat, Dobson, Sorokin, I mean, you're in that 28, 29 range. You know, it's okay to have a few 30. You get a couple young guns in there, which I think we'll have, whether trade or Bridgeport. And again, I don't know why everybody seems so hopeless all the time on these Instagram forums. I mean, not the reason I deleted Twitter. I was actually on, for one day, I was on one of these Facebook groups, and they're like the most wild groups in the world. And I was like, this is like not okay. Just left them. I was like, I'm done with this. So I'll do the Instagram stuff every once in a while, and I'll put like my two cents in of like a try to be level-headed idea. Yeah. But it's funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the Islanders, you know, you always one of those teams that you like to root for, one of those teams you like to watch, because you never know what's going to happen. Like, you know, like you said, up and down season, you know, Lane Lambert, they fired, not Patrick Waugh comes in again. Lou makes these sneaky good moves that, because he keeps it so close to the vest, you don't know what he's going to do.
No idea.
And then boom, out of nowhere, these moves happen. And look, I think that overall, I think they had a good season. In my opinion, I think they got into playoffs. Again, finishing third in the Metro, I had them more of a bubble playoff team. But again, when Philly loses eight straight,
yeah,
you take advantage. Yeah, exactly. You take advantage of it. And you mentioned Kyle MacLean. And look, I watched his dad for years in New Jersey. Kid has a nose for the net, and he can score goals. And when the Islanders came into Jersey, one of the Devils' final home game, and he scored, I felt proud for that kid because he grew up in Jersey. So he's got a nice future ahead for the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's more than enough to look at. You know, you get a few picks. You don't know who's going to pan out. I still like Holmstrom. I still think that the guy's a good hockey player. I think he's kind of been asked to be the savior in some ways of like kind of that sneaky goal scorer. And I think if you get him on a third line, you get Holmstrom, Engvall and MacLean on a third line, like I think that's a sneaky good third line, and I think that could be really well placed. So when you look top to bottom at the lines like that again, I don't think you, again, two changes and you're feeling pretty good about the team. And I don't care if they're winning the President's Trophy, like I don't give a shit, you know. Like you look at the Rangers playing the Canes, like I really do think the Canes are going to take them down pretty handily. And you know, nobody's going to remember that they won the President's Trophy. I don't, like, nobody cares about that.
No, I know. No, no one cares about the President's Trophy. No one cares about finishing in first. One team wins the Stanley Cup at the end of the year. That's all anybody cares about. No one cares about who. 32 teams don't win the Stanley Cup. Only one team does. And look, the Islanders are back. So, it's good to see. So, I'm really impressed with this. And, you know, what final thoughts on the season for the Islanders?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just fun to have more games. I think that was the beauty of the offseason, you know, just to have a couple. You know, it was nice to see them sneak out. I would have loved, you know, not to end it the way it did, kind of like the way it did last year. But yeah, I mean, I'm in Miami right now, so I'm hopefully going to get out to one of these Panthers games next week, you know, just to get, you know, just see what that. I was actually last minute, I was almost going to go. I would have loved to see them take down Tampa just to kind of end that, because I had enough thoughts about Tampa taking out the Islanders with a shorthanded goal game seven, which that was the year that when you look back at what year, you know, the Islanders played Montreal in the finals and you're like,
that one would have been a year. Yeah,
that probably, you know, I'm not saying that they're sweeping the floor with them in four, but like you look at it on paper, you look at the play that was being made at that time by the Islanders versus Montreal, and you're like, I don't know how they would lose that one. I don't know how they lose four games against Montreal at that point. So that was probably the one you look back on. And it's kind of sad. I do think that they can make another run. I don't think this is a blow-up team. I think the next 3 years is kind of that block, you know, where, you know, if they're not, let's say they're not trading a Nelson or a Palmieri, like, you know, the end of this real solid core, you know, where you have 8-9 guys that are really good, I think that ends two to 3 years. I would give it 3 years. So I do think there's another run to be had. And, you know, I would love not to play the Canes one of these first rounds and kind of switch off. I know Gary is never going to change how the playoffs work. It should go the 1-3 kind of play. I think that's the best way to do it and mix it up. I mean, you know, it's fun to watch Florida, you know, battle it out, you know, with Florida, but like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I think we got to see a little different competition going on, but yeah, I'm curious to see how the Rangers kind of take on the Canes. I think it's a really bad matchup for the Rangers and how they play. I think there's going to be a lot of two-on-one Canes play, and it's going to be how Igor is kind of standing up to it, how Quick is going to stand up to it. But it's crazy, like, how much I hate the Canes and the fans and the players and the calls they get. They hold every time. Like, I'm still a hater of Rangers forever. but it's like 55-45. Like, it's really wow. close of how, yeah, wow. that's how close it is
wow.
with how much I've seen, you know, just even Rob Brindamore, like with the other series, you know, last year, and Tomahawk, he's bringing out this word when he broke his wrist. It was like lightly tapped. And then you have Mayfield that got absolutely smacked. He's like, oh, we didn't see it. You know, it was nothing to see there. And I'm like, just, I couldn't handle it anymore from him. I really couldn't. So yeah, I would say Rangers are still number one, the hating book. Canes are an easy number two, an easy number two. And then I think you put, Pens and Toronto there. I think Toronto's number three on everybody's list anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, because of the history with the captain and everything that happened with Tavares. But yeah, this has been a great chat today, Noah. Thank you so much for coming on the Full Press NHL podcast today, talking Islanders hockey.
Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, get this on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, as long with YouTube Full Press Hockey Podcast, and it'll be on Instagram later as well. Guys, take care. Noah Rubin, American tennis player, New York Islanders fan, and Behind the Racket Podcast. Check them out. Guys, take care.
Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators, making sure you're listening to Full Press Hockey Podcast.